Well, I don't know, yeah, I think that certainly I'd have to say that, because I was dealing with a higher class group of people later. I insisted that I meet his daughter. He said, I don't have a daughter. I got a niece. And so anyway, that's an illustration of the higher class people that we were dealing with. And by the same token, it was so obvious that that's the feudal system over there. You know, the middle class doesn't exist. You're either the peons or the upper class. And so that was the, and I didn't realize that so much until I experienced close to 2 years.
Where were you when you heard the news that the war was over?
Well, I was, we had established for our outfit. I'm wondering, I advised that we were going to have to probably go to Japan. We were just sitting there marking time. That's why I made the comment, going to Japan, I may not be. Oh yeah, I did, and I can't remember exactly where I was or what I was doing or anything else, but I was certainly aware of the fact that VE Day had came from relief in the sense of attention to these Japanese. I can't specifically say where I was, you know, physically aware of. And the big surprise that I had, I was thoroughly convinced that these Japs that we were chasing, we've been chasing for 2 or 3 months, and that occasionally, whenever we could see one, were totally out of contact with their people. But just miraculously, they got the message, and here they came to surrender. You mean, I couldn't believe what a struggle walk. I didn't know anything about the atomic bomb, just like no one did. Mm-hmm. I mean, probably less than anybody else. And when this happened, we knew that they had bombed Japan previously. And we were hoping that they had enough bombs to get the job. Once the war was over, my expectations was, let's go home as quick as we can. But they had a point system that they've established. And I don't know if it had to do with the amount and the time that you'd served. Mm-hmm. And it was appropriate. The guys that had been over there the longest got to go home first. Well, I'd only been there for 6 months at that point in time. I was, again, a little bit on the totem pole. That was when I was transferred to the military police after they disbanded this infantry outfit. My expectations were, after I got a close marshal and we got along so well, he begged me to stay with him. What do you want to do? I'm going home. Well, it was a lot like the trip we went over, when I went over, except that we were on a smaller ship, mm-hmm. on what they term a Liberty ship, and that was the roughest damn ride I'll ever have, because the other boat was a big boat. It was what they call the General Line. It was the name of the Pope that went over on. It was a huge Liberty ship. It was one of those that had a habit of breaking in half. A lot of them did, but at any rate, the waves, we rode the waves literally. But I didn't care how rough it was, I wanted to come home. Well, basically, the ship brought me to San Francisco, and then I rode a train to Fort Lewis. And to be discharged. Mm-hmm. But then we got there, I was a little bit disappointed. And I had, one of my real close friends had been 4F. He'd been home all the time, and I'd corresponded with him. His dad had bought him a new car. This was 1946. Mm-hmm. When the cars first came out, his well-to-do farmers out here south of town. An aunt or two that lived. We were coordinating. He was out there waiting for me in Tacoma when I got there. But that's another incident. He didn't bring a lot of money with him. because he figured we'd turn right around and come home, see. Well, when I got to Tacoma, to Fort Lewis, found out I was going to be there 2 or 3 weeks because of the paperwork. Mm-hmm. He said, well, what am I going to do? I said, well, there's nothing for you to do. You're going to have to get inducted into the Army. So I had an extra uniform. He was a little taller than I am, but he was built about the same way. So he put on one of my uniforms and he stayed in the barracks right with the rest of us. that was kind of comical because I thought it was such a stroke of genius. But then after we got him in there, then I had to get him a pass in order to get him back out. But that wasn't too tough. We wrote our own passes, so I just wrote him a pass. the guards wouldn't let us out until out the gate until we had a pass.
What were your expectations about going home?
Well, that was a mixed bag because, as I told you, my mother had died. And in the interim, my dad had remarried. And so I really didn't know what to expect, except my grandmother was still here, and she hadn't changed. So that was, and it took some adjustment on my part in order to get back into the civilian thing. In fact, it took a lot of adjusting. It was tough. I credit her with helping me a whole lot. My grandma. And I actually went to work for this family that I referred to for them, and that led me on into greater things as subsequent life was concerned because of me, and then they direct concussion. And in the military, I didn't have any close friends in the military. I guess that old provost marshal came as close. Well, I shouldn't say I didn't have any friends. I had a bunch of them that had been in the outfit with me from day one. Mm-hmm. When we got over there in Luzon, we were good buddies. But they were going home too, and we were all just happy for each other. There wasn't any feeling about getting to go home. Well, I did for a while, but they were off doing their thing, and I had a couple of friends in Texas and one in Alabama, and none of them around here, and I've never seen them since, and they were of course doing their thing, and I was too, and it just seemed like a lost cause. Even the first thing was I had a beefsteak because I hadn't had one for a long time, and that was one of my favorite foods.
Still is.
Being raised on a ranch, yeah.
It still is.
Yeah. Well, and by and large, we got a heroes. I guess these people, being in the community. At the same time, I wasn't asking for a lot of help. And I wanted to. Had a few parties, and where I met Gene basically was at a country dance, out where I was, and in that program.
What's your community like after you?
Well, just not a whole lot different, except that there was lots of returned servicemen. As I told you, when I left, they were pretty scarce. When I came back, they were everywhere. Well, actually, everybody had, I guess, was a little bit older, and things had changed in the sense that in my immediate family, you see, my dad had remarried, and things were grossly different. He had sold the ranch. It was a whole new way of life for me, really. But on the other hand, there was enough friends that, you know, treated me. Well, basically, the civilian life was a whole new program in the sense that, hey, for a pass, if I wanted to sleep in the morning, I could, as long until I got a job, and you didn't do that in the military. And if there was some kind of entertainment that I wanted to participate in, I didn't have to ask permission. Really different.
What was the easiest?
At home. Mm-hmm. Well, I suppose the easiest adjustment was my mother. Is that yours? Okay. Oh, okay. anyway, my grandmother was the easiest. She was still, the most difficult thing was basically the idea of trying to treat people as equals, or being able to treat people as equals. In the military, there's always somebody that's your boss, mm-hmm. or that's, especially when you're a low man like I was, you know, but to, in civilian life, you know, as we got here, why it was everybody for himself, there isn't any family benefits that I was offered some benefits, and I turned them down because there was a stipulation in the sense that they wanted me to, if indeed you signed up for benefits, you had to be in the reserve. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to be in the reserve. I wanted a clean break. And so I did, the only benefits I got was unemployment insurance. Which are? Mm-hmm. Well, I suppose the biggest impact had to have been the, coming from Montana, on a little hope of this world, the size of the world, the scope of the military, our military, was mind-boggling. I mean, summing it up, I guess I'd have to say that I don't regret one minute. There was some difficult times, particularly when we were in combat. We kind of made a game out of it. I learned a lot. I guess it mostly proud that doing what we did, things, and whether I did wrong, I think we did it right. That's a tricky question. I guess the one that has to be uppermost is this relationship. That lasted longer. That was a period of about, well, 3 or 4 months, I think. Than that, maybe 6 months. Oh, the other, I was longer periods of time, but we didn't have the closeness doing things and the ability to do things, because they were just putting in their time, see. The provost marshal, he had the connections and he had the authority, and so he made things. Captain Ball, his name was, M-A-L-L, and I said, oh yeah, if I would do it again, if they'd let me, I would have gone. As a matter of fact, I was willing to go back. After we got home, and I had to go back, I guess I'd have to say. And, this was after the Berlin Wall incident, mm-hmm. was just what we started, mm-hmm. because we'd left. We dropped the ball over there. They dropped the ball. I didn't have anything to do with it, thankfully. But that left me with a good feeling, the fact that we did clean house as far as the Japs were concerned. But they left a lot of loose ends over there in Europe, and we had to suffer for it. In fact, until Reagan come along, we really were suffering. I mean, it was still going on. He's the one that really clinched that deal. I do. As long as, particularly in this day and age, when there's benefits to be, gotten. One of our grandsons, is a case in point, is involved in the Civil Air Patrol and has a scholarship for him right today. And girls, they don't have as the opportunities are not quite so great, as you probably know, mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's still there. And I can't really speak for the girls in the military, I wonder, but I'm clearly opposed to women in combat. To be a joke, lots of things that, the only females that were in the service, answer to your question, I guess. Well, Hollywood messes everything up, you know, as far as real life is concerned. But I think we've watched a lot of those old war movies, and I'd have to say that some of them are pretty good. What they did, of course, what made them good was the fact that the military did some filming quite a lot of filming and made it available to Hollywood. So Hollywood always has to get the romance angle and everything in there, which was probably not there at all, but that's what they think has to be in to make a good movie, to say that probably they did and still make a buck. I guess one of the most interesting things that happened that I alluded to before in regard to stealing those tires, I'll enlarge on that a little bit, because that was something that only a kid from Montana would do, probably. Anyway, when we were hauling these Japs up and down the road, we didn't have in order to eat, what we did, we carried our mess kit with us. Mm-hmm. And there was two or three of us who would run together, just because then we could help each other if indeed we had a problem, see. As far as the Japs were concerned, they weren't a problem at all. It was just the mechanics of keeping the trucks running and gas in the tank and all that. But for ourselves, we were concerned. We didn't feed those Japs. We'd load them up and take them. If it took all day, well, they'd just have to suffer, that's all. Because mm-hmm. we didn't tolerate. But then after we got rid of the Japs, then we had our mess kits along, and if it was chow time anywhere, there was a blue million different stations over there, and they'd have a sign up, some engineering outfit out on the road, they'd be back in the trees, or else some artillery outfit or whatever. Mm-hmm. We'd just turn in and get in the chow line along with the rest of them and eat, see. They never did count noses. They wouldn't know how many people it was there, and they wouldn't care anyhow. Anyway, this one particular engineer outfit, I think it was, we had to go up about a half mile off the road where they had their place all set up, nice camp back there. And right alongside the road was a repair shop. And they were working on a truck that was just like ours. And we had tandem duals on these trucks. In other words, 8 rear tires. And we were running duals. Even though we only needed singles. They had the weight we were carrying didn't warrant the extra tires, but the theory was that they wouldn't all go flat. But we were instructed to, when they did go flat, to take them off so we wouldn't ruin them. Mm-hmm. Run them flat and just throw them in the back, see. And so anyway, there's two of us right together, and we were both running on our last tires. We each had 4 flats in the back of our truck that we'd taken off, see. We pulled up by this repair garage, and they were overhauling a truck just like the ones we had, and had 8 brand new tires. All mounted and everything.
Mounted.
All mounted and everything stacked up. The chow line was, we saw it over there, a quarter of a mile away. Everybody was over there eating lunch. That was one day we didn't bother eating lunch. We traded tires. We left four flats, and we left them 4 flats in exchange for those 4 brand new, or 8 flats in exchange for those 8 brand new tires. When we got back to our outfit, we put a couple of them on because we drove back in there with these new tires. Where in the world did you get those tires? We've been trying to get new tires for the last month and a half, and we can't. They're telling us there aren't any. I told them, I said, well, we stole them. But we didn't get anything but praise over that. And it was all the same army. I mean, I don't know what they needed the truck for, but they probably had the connections. They probably just went and got some more new tires. But our outfit didn't have any priority. I don't think we're even supposed to be in the trucking business, but we want to get rid of those jobs.
Well, thank you.
I do have something that you probably maybe ought to take with you. I've got a history that was written of the, I went ahead and penciled in where I was and how I interacted with that. And I've got an extra copy for you to take if you, you've got to come back anyway. If you want to, you can take it, and this will enlarge a whole lot on your perspective of what we've got.